Well, today I want to just touch on a few things. Last week we were looking at a portion of Scripture out of Ezekiel, and it's really amazing when you think about it. I'm just going to read one of the verses. It's 47, verse 9. There's a whole account there. If you read Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through, through 9, 10, right in there. It's just amazing portions of Scripture. The one truth that I would tell you as you're reading this, just say, Lord, you know, because it talks about the river of God, and it talks about, you know, I can go ankle deep, I can go knee deep, I can go waist deep, chest deep. I can go as deep into God as I want to go, okay? You're never going to run out of the Lord, all right? You're never going to run out of Him, because that's the journey that we're on. It's all sanctification. It's going from glory to glory to glory. So don't think you have to have it all together day one, because none of us do, all right? We still contend with flesh. We still contend with issues in our lives. But we are going to see today, I hope, that where we will allow the river of God to flow, that it will bring life, okay? And the deeper you go, see, God does allow us to go ankle deep. Sometimes we stand on the bank and we're looking and we want to go deeper, but there's a little bit of fear there, okay? But we can go ankle deep, we can go waist deep, we can go chest deep. But where He really wants you and I to live is in the channel, okay? Because it's in the channel that we are able to flow with Him, okay? And there's a whole message in that I'm not going to go into today, but I want to read this one scripture here in verse 9, Ezekiel 47. I'm reading from the NIV. And it says, swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be a large number of fish because this water flows there and it makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Isn't that good? Where the river flows, everything will live. Let's pray. Father, I am asking that You will add to the reading of Your Word today. I'm asking You, Lord, to just prepare the soil of our hearts to receive everything that You have for us today, Lord. I pray that this house would be a place of safety today. I pray, God, that as we're able to be transparent and vulnerable with each other, as we always should, God, that there would just be no judgment. But I pray that this would be a house, God, where people could find healing. I pray that this would be a place where Your river, God, could flow. And I pray, Father, for the richness, God, of who You are to consume us in our lives. So, Lord, I pray that Your words would come alive today. My words would fall on deaf ears, but Your words of life, God, would bring freedom to a captive soul today. Father, we love You and we thank You and we give You all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all said together, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So, there were a few key takeaways from last week. And one of the primary takeaways was this. Don't ever let Pastor Craig back your truck into the river. Okay, now you're going to have to go back and listen to the message to get the fullness of that, all right? But those of you who are here, you know, can you say amen to that, right? Okay. And if you need an explanation, you can talk to Dan. He's in the back and he'll be glad to talk to you about that. But in all seriousness, there was some key takeaways when we were talking about the river of God. Some characteristics of natural rivers, but also characteristics of the river of God. Rivers have banks, they form a channel, and there's a flow or a current to a river. As the river of God, there's a flow, there's a current that goes. And the river of God feeds other bodies of water. We talked a little bit about how the whole system, what's called a watershed, okay, as the heavens open up upon us, okay, the river of God flows into us. It's designed to flow into us and through us and out of us to the world around us. We're really created just like a regular watershed in the natural. They all feed other bodies of water, you see, and that's what we're called to do as Christians. The bottom line is this, is wherever the river of God flows, it brings life, you see. That's the whole thing. There's an abundant supply in God's river. Man-made rivers and the rivers of this world might run dry, but there is never going to be a time that the river of God will run dry. I find that very hopeful because, you can read Isaiah 40:31 and understand that he doesn't slumber, he doesn't take days off, he's there for you, he's faithful. When everybody else can be unfaithful, God is faithful and he is true. It's his nature and he can't change his nature. Second thing we looked at was that we looked at another river, and this is really where the thrust of the message went, to Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. And that's where we talked about the river of fire that flowed out of the throne of God. This is the river of fire that is spoken of in Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. But you can read about the judgment of our works, because as Christians, we are not going to take place in the great white throne judgment. Okay, that's for unbelievers. But as Christians, our works will be judged. That's called the Bema Seat judgment. And you can read about how that takes place in if you need a scripture reference, jot down 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. I encourage you to just look through that. Check out your notes that go along with that and everything. It's just a really good read, but it brings an awareness to us that our lives matter as Christians. Because I told a brief story of a pastor that was ministering to somebody in the hospital, and that individual in the hospital was afraid. The pastor thought it was a salvation issue. It wasn't. Basically, the man had lived his whole life, and he was afraid of standing before God empty-handed. You see, and I don't think there's any one of us that want to stand before God empty-handed, because the works that we do for God, okay, the jewels that we're going to be able to present at the throne of God, they're going to be tested by fire, and it talks about that. And that's that river of fire that's going to literally roll over all of our lives. And the works of wood, hay, and stubble, those things are going to all be burned up. And we'll suffer loss for those. But the jewels, okay? Everybody say jewels. Jewels. Those jewels, those gold, silver, the precious jewels, we're going to be able to lay at His feet. Isn't that beautiful? And those are the things that we're going to present to God, you know? It's going to check our motives for doing the things that we do, all of that. And I know that can be kind of a sobering thought, but it should be a sobering thought, because our lives should have fruit. Amen. Amen. We also looked at the idea that, you know, we are God's temple. No longer is it just about brick and mortar, okay? It's not just about building some extravagant palace. It's about building an extravagant palace in here for God. It's about, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, is what the scriptures say. So can we honor God's temple? Can we understand that God's temple is sacred? And as you read through those scriptures in 1 Corinthians, there at the end in verse 17, it talks about how God's temple is sacred. Well, friend, this is God's temple. It's sacred, okay? And sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I am just amazed at the pollution that I can allow into His temple, you know? I know I'm the only one in here that ever has to contend with flesh, right? But the reality is we do sometimes make some pretty boneheaded choices of the things that we allow in. But at the same time, that's where grace and mercy and growing in God, and that's where the love, and that's where, again, friends, you know, you might be able to look at somebody and identify all the things, the specks that are going on in their lives, but let's not forget about that plank, all right? That's sticking right, you know, that thing that's right in there in our own eye, all right? Can we agree to that? All right, okay. Praise the Lord. One of the things that I thought the Holy Spirit was just really highlighting to us is this, is that our salvation is not dependent on good works. However, our salvation, when we're saved, it results in good works, okay? We will want to do things for God. There has to be fruit. Because listen, here's the truth of what the scriptures say. It says, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. Okay, we know that from Romans 3:20. Galatians 2:16 says this, no man is justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus. Okay, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace we have been saved through faith. These are all truths. But remember, the law was given to bring the knowledge of what was sin, okay? And Paul is speaking to us about our justification before God. But before men, Paul also says that God's law is holy, and he calls us to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. And we did a message not too long ago about that. In James chapter 2, and this is where it really kind of, it's kind of that test, but it clearly calls us, if you read through that portion of Scripture there, it calls you and I to good works, okay? We're called to live a life reflecting Jesus. We're called to good works, okay? Not out of a have to, not out of pastor beating us with a whip or anything like that. That's not what it's about. It's because I want to, you see? And I understand churches for a long time, it almost like we were the taskmasters, you know, the old school marm just kind of sitting there, you know, waiting for somebody to screw up. But the bottom line is that's not God's heart at all. He wants you to run to Him. He has open arms for you. He loves you. He's not asking you to get all cleaned up to come to Him, but as a result of coming to Him, you will want to get cleaned up. You see, it's a different attitude, and it's a completely different motivation. And that's the motivation that God has for each and every one of us. Scripture clearly validates the position over and over that there really needs to be some fruit in our lives. Amen? A person who claims to be a Christian but has no kingdom fruit whatsoever, we're really missing the mark there. Grace empowers us, you see. Grace saves us, but it also empowers us to live a life set apart for Jesus. Amen? And to be the light that we're called to be. So there's repentance, and there's inviting God. And this is where we're really going to go today. It's inviting the river of God into all areas of our lives, okay? Now, I want you to let that sink in for just a moment. Every area of your life. You mean that, Pastor? Yeah, that. You mean that little area over there that nobody knows about? Yeah, that little area. You mean open up that drawer and let God in there? Yeah. If you ever want to be free, we've got to open up every drawer. We got to open up, and I'm not saying that we got to come out here and spill everything out all over the congregation, okay? But there are times that we need to be vulnerable. There are times that if we want freedom, we got to get rid of our pride, okay? We've got to get rid of our pride, and we got to allow God to flow into these areas of our lives. See, friends, we were created for freedom. I got one amen there. We were created for freedom. Amen! Yeah, all right, okay, good. We were created to experience the fruit of repentance, the works, honoring God. We were created to play a part in advancing the kingdom. Now, last week at the end of the message, I shared a vision that God had given me back in May of 2002. All right? I'm going to just touch on a few things from that. Basically, God gave me a vision of a stream of water, a river, and it was filled with life-giving refreshment. There were springs coming forth, and there was life in the water. It was a pure water. It flowed with excitement. There was laughter. There was kids in the stream. And surrounding the river, there were emerald fields going forth in all directions. And as I looked closer, there were others surrounding the stream. But the one thing is between the river of refreshing and the banks, there was kind of like this rocky area. It was a little muddy. It was a little rocky. And there was people lined up on those banks. And they were just desperately wanting to get in. And because they could see the excitement. They could see the refreshing. They could see everything that was taking place in the river of God, but they didn't know how to get there, okay? Just to give you a brief interpretation of how that all went, but the children represented believers who had managed to come to God with a childlike faith. You see, God never pushes children away, does he? I love the fact that we have our kids here with us. I love you guys being in here with us. And I know sometimes maybe it's a little over the head, but you guys dive in and you go for it, and it's a beautiful thing. But it's a childlike faith. Sometimes you don't even have to go through all the rigmarole with kids, and they just dive in and start praying and believing God, and great things happen. And there's all kinds of things that were taking place in that. The fields, okay, they represented a beautiful, plentiful place where people were comfortable. And it's attractive, and it's great, and we want to stay there. But the true refreshment was taking place where the river was flowing, you see. The rocks and the banks, though, they represented these areas between that we just sometimes have a hard time crossing over because it's a little bit unstable, kind of like those rocks down there at Liverpool, right, Danny? You know, as I was trying to get down to Dan and save him, right? You know, he was having a hard time, but I was really, you know, just struggling, just trying to get. Sometimes it's like trying to get to that deeper place with God, and it's hard. And once in a while, we need somebody to take us by the hand and lead us down through, because often there is a pathway through those rocks. There is a pathway that's already been walked, and somebody can take you by the hand and lead you into that river. So that's what I hope that we can accomplish today. Because I do believe that there are some people that just need a helping hand. You want to go deeper with God. Maybe you're a little frightened. Maybe you're like, oh my gosh, am I going to look like one of them whacked out people? I don't know. I don't think you will. I don't know. You know what? I think when we're really living it authentically, people look at us a little different. And it's okay. You don't have to. We're not weird. We're actually normal. They just don't know it. Okay? But we're not called to fit in. All right? We're called to be salt and light for Jesus. You know, one of the things, what does salt do? Yeah, come on. Come on. Salt seasons, right? We're called to be a little spicy. All right? We're called to be the spice that's added. And when people see that in your life, man, then when there's a good flavor coming out of your life, people want that. You see? And yeah, we might be a little odd. You mean that you're like one of them, hallelujah, yeah, praise God, amen, and you know, all that. You know, well, that's just not me. I'm just a little more reserved than that. Great, praise God, hallelujah, you know? But the bottom line is whatever it looks like in your life, let the river of God flow in you and through you and out of you to the world around you. Amen? So today, we want to take you by the hand and in a sense, show you what can happen when you let the river of God truly flow in to those areas that nobody knows about. Because we all got them. You can say you don't, but we all got them, friends. We all got them. It's time to come out of hiding, all right? It's time to come in to the waters. Can I just say this? The enemy wants to hold you hostage. He wants to hold you hostage. He wants to keep you in bondage. He wants to keep you in this tight little space. He'll let you operate here and here, but I'm going to tell you what, you start to get out of that box a little bit. Oh, he doesn't like that, and he might turn up the heat on you, but there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear because Jesus has called you out of the box. He hasn't called you to conform to culture. He's called you to conform to his image, to be made new, to walk in the new creation that you were created to be. That's what Jesus has called each and every one of us to do. You know what the enemy does? He does this. He uses other people. He uses naysayers. He uses cultural influences and religious tradition. He uses your past failures. Anybody ever fail? Am I the only one? I don't think so. Yeah, hands up everywhere. And if you don't have your hand up, you're lying, okay? The bottom line is, we've all failed. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, have we not? That's why we all need a Savior, okay? But the enemy tries to convince you that because of your past failures, because of maybe even your past addictions or even your current addictions, you can't be used by God for some reason. See, that's keeping you ineffective. That's keeping you off the playing field. That's telling you a lie that should have never been spoken over your life. And if you believe that lie today, friend, that thing, you need to take the mask off of that thing and see it for what it is. It's a lie from the pit of hell. That's where it came from, and that's where it belongs. Because God has a life for you, and it's an abundant life in Jesus. Amen. I'm going to read a piece of scripture here, John chapter 3. I love this verse of scripture because this is the one that actually opened my eyes. I knew John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You know, it's that one that everybody quotes. But it's the one after it that really started to speak to me. So here's what I read. I was sitting at a kitchen table in Alpha, Illinois, around 1991, shortly after my best friend was killed in a car accident. And I was desperate. My buddies were going out. They were going to go out and do some drink and party and do some drugs and all that stuff. And for some reason, I stayed. But she had an old tattered Bible there. It was one of those old King James, right? And everybody's right, that's right, King James, that's right, King James. That's the only Bible. You know, no, that's not who we are, okay? But it was this old King James Bible, and the only scripture I knew was John 3:16, and it said this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." And then I stopped there, because that's all I knew. And she said, "Keep reading." I've never done that before. Okay, may as well. Here it goes, verse 17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. And whoever believes in Him is not condemned." All right, the light bulb started going on a little bit in my heart because Holy Spirit was beginning to draw me in. All right? "Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." And here's the thing that started to get to me. I started seeing that word believe, 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 believe. And I knew there was more to that than just some mental acknowledgement of who God was and Jesus, because I could tell you the stories, but I certainly wasn't living for Him. And I kept reading, and it says this, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." Light bulbs going on all over. I'm like this big jock guy, and I'm just starting to tear up, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I mean, there's actually hope for me. "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed." And that right there, friends, is one of the main problems that we have in the church today. We are fearful. We're fearful of rejection. We're fearful that people are going to judge us. They're going to condemn us. If we really came into the light and let the light of Jesus, let the river of God flow into this area of my life, and people found me out, they're going to reject me. Well, I'm going to tell you something. They can reject you, but He never will. He never will. People can reject you. People can slap labels on you. People can try to hold you hostage to a point in your past where maybe you really screwed up or just made a bad choice. Can I tell you, half the people that condemn and judge people that are in jail and all these petty things, the only difference between them and us is that we didn't get caught. Let's just be real. The truth is that God has come to set you free. The river of God, when we invite Him into these areas, the light comes, but it doesn't stop with our deeds being exposed. Because I will tell you, if it stopped there, I don't think I would have come. But it goes on. Praise the Lord. And it says this, "But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Friends, the Bible said in that first verse, whosoever, everybody say, whosoever. Whosoever. We kind of got that. That sounded like a bunch of tongues out there. All right, let's try that again. One, two, three. Whosoever. Whosoever believes. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you realize that He's called you by name? Do you realize that He knows you better than anybody else? Do you realize that Jesus loves you with an undying love? That He doesn't care about all the junk that's going on in your life. He doesn't care how ugly other people might think it is. He loves you despite all that. He went to the cross for you despite all of that. That's the God that we serve. Will you invite Him in? So in a sense, when you and I step into that light, the light of God, it's like stepping into the river. Okay? Think of those terms synonymously if you would. All right? But that's what it's like when we let the river of God flow into these deep, dark areas of our lives that nobody knows about. All of a sudden, we experience a refreshing and a freedom that we've never had before. And I will tell you, it's not just a one-time process, because all of a sudden you might discover, you know, down your journey, oh, there's something else. I got to get back into the river. It doesn't mean we get in the river and we get out. It means that we get in the river and we go in ankle deep and say, oh man, I like this. And then we go in knee deep and waist deep and chest deep, and pretty soon we're in the main channel and we're just like, woo! 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 Jesus! Man! I mean, come on! Oh! Come on, Lord! Oh! Whosoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that what you're doing for God, the reason that you do it, doesn't matter if you're recognized or not. I'm doing it for God's glory. We come into the light. We come into the river. We want to, I don't know about you, but I want my motives to be pure. I don't want it to be for the approval of man or the approval or acceptance or anything like that. I want it to be just because I love Jesus, you see? And so much of the time, our motives are wrong. I can admit that. Because what happens in those moments is it becomes manipulation. It doesn't become anything pure. But that's that fiery river that's going to test that. But we have a river available to us right now that can test that, and that's the river of God. So let's get in the river, and if you're convicted of something, then let's repent and turn to God. What's the Bible say? He's faithful and just, will forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen? Amen. This is good. And you've probably heard these quotes before, but when I am liberated, I in turn can liberate another. That's the river coming in you, through you, and out of you into another person's life. You know, that's why I never want to forget where I come from. I don't ever want to forget. You know, I don't sit there and wallow in it. I don't try to relive situations, because there's a lot of things in my past I'm just ashamed of. And I bet there's a lot of things you have done that you're just ashamed of, you know? And I'm not talking about that, but I never want to forget where I came from. I don't ever want to forget how lonely and desperate I was. I don't ever want to forget the bondage that I was in to alcohol and all of those types of things. I don't ever want to forget that, because I want to be able to testify that what God did in me, now I can pass on to somebody else so that they could be liberated. The same liberty that I'm experiencing in my own life. And I'm not there yet, friends. I'm not there yet. But I definitely am more liberated than I was 6 years ago. And then, you know, next year I hope to have a little bit more and a little bit more, because we're being conformed into His image. It's called sanctification, year after year after year after year, becoming more and more like Jesus. Doesn't have to take a lifetime. It can happen in an instant. It can happen in a moment. But it's in those moments of complete brokenness that we can truly find freedom. Now, this morning, I want to introduce, I guess, a ministry that we're becoming more and more partners with. We actually are going to be blessed to have one of the directors with us in March. We got a lot going on in March, so it's going to be a great month. But there's a ministry, it's called Whatever It Takes Ministry, okay? And that's really what it's about. It's kind of an intensive 4 days where, several of our women have gone to it. It's called Hope, 4 days to Hope. For the men, it's 4 days to Freedom. And 4 days to Hope, there's an intensive that goes on, and the women get together, and they don't just sit there and, you know, just talk back and forth. There's a lot of talking, I'm sure, that goes on, but I'm going to tell you right now, there is some freedom activity that's going on, and that's where they're inviting the river of God into these dark areas of their lives, and the same thing goes on for the men. They also have marriage encounters, but here's the thing. It's where you take your greatest pain, it's where you take your greatest fear, and you learn to walk out of it and into the river of God. And that's really what the ministry is about. That's taken right off of their webpage. Now, I'm going to ask Melissa to come this morning. And Melissa is fresh from a 4 days to Hope weekend, so can we encourage her as she comes this morning? Let me get that for you. Go ahead.
Okay, so he kind of did my first paragraph, but I'm going to start up there anyway. So I missed being with all of you last weekend, but at the same time, I would not trade one moment of it. For those of you that don't know where I was at, I was with Nikki, Brenda, and Mary at AWIT Ministries, 4 Days to Hope, Women's Intensive Weekend in Alabama. You might say, okay, so you went to a women's retreat. A bunch of women get together and pray and sing some songs and talk about some things that might be bothering them and come home feeling better about themselves, right? Well, you know, there are women's retreats that are like that, and those are all good, and we all need those at times. But that's not what AWIT Ministries is about. It's about whatever it takes. So what I'm going to tell you is that I came away free from things that I carried with me most of my life. They had been buried deep down inside, and quite honestly, I thought I was doing pretty good. But as the weekend went along, and they started peeling back the layers, you know, imagine an onion. You're peeling them back, and you're peeling them back. I soon found out that I had a lot to deal with, just like all the other women that were there. They had a way of getting us to dig deep inside and to uncover the hidden things that had us bound, causing us to be stuck spiritually and not being able to be the person that God had called us to be. Before the first day was over, I had determined that I was willing to do whatever it takes to get me unstuck and living to be the person God had made me to be. Was it easy? Oh, no. Was it painless? Definitely not. As I heard some of the women's stories of what they went through as children and their marriages, Satan was sitting right here on my shoulder, starting to whisper in my ear that what I went through was trivial, and I really didn't need to be there. But God, he was there, and he was the greater force in this place. And I heard him say, "Missy, it is time that all of this is taken care of. And I want you to give me access to those dark places. The places that are too painful for you to remember. I want all of you, not just part of you." What I had allowed to happen is that I had believed the lies that Satan had spoken to me instead of hearing the truth that God had for me. By Saturday afternoon, they had us use scripture to write an identity statement that discounted the lies that Satan had caused each of us to believe. I want to encourage all of you, women, men, children, look in the scriptures. Find out what God has to say. Don't believe the lies. It might be something simple that somebody spoke to you as a child, or it can be something as painful as a broken relationship or abuse. But I do know, because I witnessed it, that you can be set free if you are willing to do whatever it takes. This is the identity statement that God had me write. I am chosen and dearly loved by God, for he chose me and grafted me into the vine. He handpicked me to bear his fruit. I am a personal witness of Christ, and am free to shout it from the mountaintops. I am a part of his chosen people, a princess of his holy nation. For I am an alien and a stranger to this world that I temporarily live in. My citizenship is in heaven, where I will one day go and sit at the feet of Jesus and worship my King for all eternity. You see, I accepted Christ when I was in the fifth grade. And that identity statement had always been with me. But instead, I had chosen to believe the lies of Satan and had hidden his lies deep within me. But I have now let God totally release me from the lies, and I am free from them. I would encourage you to search the truth in the scriptures to find what God says about you. Pray. Uncover the things that have been buried and hidden. Have you ever wondered why you overreact about certain things? Do you ever feel alone or lonely? Made to feel like you are less than God wants you to be? Let God into those painful places. You and I will never heal until we feel the pain. It's a process. You have to go through the pain to heal. If you bury it away, you're not going to heal. It's going to be there forever. Even Jesus prayed, Father, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup from me. Yet I want your will, not mine. If God lets his own son go through this pain and suffering for our salvation and healing, then we need to be willing to let God into our painful areas so that we can be made whole.
Thank you, Lord. As I was praying, preparing for today, there was some, God gave me this really kind of a strange picture. I guess it really isn't so strange, but he showed me a body of water that was flowing, but it wasn't flowing. It was stopped up. There was a dam that had been, there was debris and all kinds of just junk that had been stopping this thing up, and it was keeping it from flowing the way that it was designed to flow. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. It's time to break the dam. Here's the truth. Right in this room, we have people that have been completely liberated and partially liberated. Different phobias, different fears. We have people that have been freed from all kinds of sexual immorality. Things that they've done and things that were done to them. We have people that have been freed from the bondage of homosexuality and lesbianism. We have people here that have had all kinds of different addictions. Sexual addictions, sin, fornication, adultery, lust, alcohol, smoking, drugs, abuse, rape, neglect, mental and emotional trauma inflicted upon them. In the craziest sense, sin that is done to us can become sin in us through the avenue of unforgiveness and bitterness and hatred, anger, control, insecurity, self-doubt, self-condemnation, dysfunction of all kinds that was never God's intention. And it wasn't God that did it. We live in a fallen world. And we live amongst fallen people that do all kinds of heinous things, detestable things. And as a result, sometimes we have things that happen to us. And then we in turn do things to other people and say things to other people. And we have all kinds of hatred and things that are built up on the inside. My own life, I battled such insecurity. I battled such self-hatred at times. You know my wife's story, her battle with depression. And many others that have gotten up and testified, and you hear Missy's story today. But see, friends, the enemy wants to come in, and it's a spirit of fear. It's what it is. It's a false spirit of prophecy. It's demonic spirit of prophecy is what it is. And the devil comes in, and he starts to say, it's never going to change. You can't trust anybody. Oh, you can't trust him. You can't trust her. They're going to do you wrong. You see, and all of a sudden we start to listen to that voice over and over and over, and then it becomes part of us. And we don't even realize that our own lives have become so dysfunctional that it becomes our normal. And anything outside of that dysfunction becomes, it terrifies us. How could life be any different than what I am experiencing? Friends, life can be different. Life will be different. Life is different in Jesus. Well, does that mean I see all kinds of Christians that have problems. Friends, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome this world. That's what Jesus said to us. And sometimes we try to make it so difficult, but it's not that difficult. Will you invite Him in? Will you let the river of God flow into these areas of your life that you've been sitting on and sitting on and sitting on and hanging on to year after year after year after year? When are you ever going to let Jesus just have control? Yeah, but you know, I'm just kind of not that way. No, we're all made that way, friends. But God wants to change us. He doesn't want you to live an eternal victim. He doesn't want you to live bound in shackles and pain and all the things that so define people that go through abuse and all the different things in life. Neglect. Loneliness. Heartache. These are all the realities of the life that this world has to offer. But I will tell you this. There's another life. It's a life of hope. It's a life of faith. It's a life of love. It's a life of when I go through heartache, I know that I'm loved. It's a life that when I am rejected by people, I'm going to be okay. You know, most of you know Nikki's testimony. She's fine with me saying this. Nikki was set free from homosexuality many years ago. And I'm going to tell you, I've even watched people have a rejection towards her because of what she was set free from. Because they want to put a banner over her life. Well, can I tell you, that's not the banner over her life. That's the banner that the world wants to put over her life. The banner over her life is Jesus, my Redeemer. The banner over Kelly's life is Jesus, my Redeemer. The banner over Ralph's life is Jesus, my Redeemer. The banner over all of our lives is Jesus, my Redeemer. He gave his life for you and for me so that we can be free